She doesn't know where we left off, but the rest of us do. And so we're back in the book of Philippians, and we're going to pick up at verse 22. And as we come back to this this chapter, this book, it's I think that most of us will be able to relate to the mindset of the Apostle Paul. And I think all of us, I put a question mark kind of in my mind there, all, maybe not the younger crowd here, but the kids, but can relate somehow to this, what is taught or what the struggle is with the Apostle Paul in this passage. We'll see as we go, but I think we've all been involved perhaps with a job or a responsibility, we could say, a situation, I think, that we didn't necessarily like or want, and we were looking for a way out of it, you know what I mean? I've had that with jobs. Have you ever had that way with a job? Maybe you had a job you didn't really, it's like, I really don't like this job. And you start praying about a change. I had that happen about a year ago, and you know that. It should be, Lord provided a different job for me, and there was definitely a change needed, and God knew that and answered that prayer. But even leading up to that, you know that that's what has to happen or what needs to happen, and at least in your mind. And but through it all and through that whole process, there's still the great responsibility to do what you have to do. You follow what I mean there? I've worked enough in different places where guys have maybe made it known that they're looking for something, a different job. And you could tell in their work ethic. You've probably never seen that, have you, Kurt? Probably. You have seen it. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, so there's a real drop-off, right, in their just fulfilling the things that they're supposed to be doing on that. Anyway, I've always just determined, you know, whatever the case is. I remember the day I was getting done at Powers, I was working in the office, and when I had a chance, I would help them with polishing, cleaning cars, because I have a background in that as well, and so office work, and that even the day I was getting done, I didn't have to do it. They didn't really even ask me to do it. There was a car that needed some attention with some scratching and stuff, so I was going to polish all that out. Here I am out. I didn't need to do that day. I mean, I could have just left early. You know what? Say sayonara. I'm out of here. But here I was out there polishing this thing and getting all covered with that compound and all that. And my office closed. That's all great. It's always great. But you know what I'm saying? You know, yes, I'm being done. Yes, there's a change needed. But I'm just going to keep on and be faithful and do what I've been asked to do until that time ends. That's what I think we see here as Paul is we know and we have seen and mentioned that he is in bonds. He's in a place he didn't necessarily want to be. And I could think we can honestly say that he wouldn't have liked it. I mean, I don't know that anybody would have liked or chosen and say, man, I really want to be in prison, you know. I don't know that Paul would have said that. He mentions it, and he doesn't necessarily mention the bonds in a positive way, but he does mention throughout the chapter we've seen that he mentions how God has used the time that he's in bonds in a positive way. But anyway, we just say that he is such an example to us in a lot of ways. And he kept on serving the Lord Jesus and being a witness, enduring to the end. And he didn't know when that end was going to be. And that's what we get in the passage before us here. So we ended last week with Paul's amazing commitment, we said, of verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So it's a great verse and a great statement and a great commitment to make. I wondered how we've done this week. You can ask this because I'm here the next week and I like it that way. And how have we done living for Christ this week? How's your week gone? Hey, how'd it go? There's probably been some times where, you know what? You can look back and say, you know, I represented Christ well this week. But if you're like me, there's sometimes this week you could honestly say before the Lord, you know what? I dropped the ball there. I didn't exactly fulfill my responsibility there like I should have. You know, God knows all about that, doesn't he? And what I think this is really, and the Lord has already used this passage in my heart as I've prepared for today, because this whole commitment that Paul makes for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain, is a great commitment to make. But my first point, we'll get to it in just a minute, is the reality of that. It comes Monday morning.
It's nice to make the commitment and be challenged and, you know what, really make that determination on Sunday. But then life keeps going on. And we need to live for Christ. Yes, we know that. And living for Christ in this world is not always the easiest thing. Maybe some, like I have for a short time, well, I worked at Ambassador Baptist College when I went to school there as on the maintenance staff, and I was on 24 hours, 7 days a week on call. If I wasn't working during the day, I was on call all the time. I didn't necessarily like that, but especially when the alarms went off on campus and I was the first call for that. And you know when the alarms go off on campus? It's about 2 o'clock in the morning. I think that's just like it was almost set to it. If there's going to be a problem, it's going to be at 2 o'clock in the morning. And 2 to 3, somewhere in there. An alarm would go off, my phone would go off, and I'd have to go down the campus and find out that there was actually nothing wrong, that this spider or something crawled across the sensor and, you know, made the alarm go off. But I was on 24-hour day, 7 days a week, call, on call. And the thing that I draw from that, kind of the application I make to the passage that we'll look at, we're going to get to it here in a second, but is that we have that commitment. We know that the possibility is that the call can go off, right? But in the meantime, we really need to stay focused and we need to stay committed until the call comes. And then when the call comes, we go. You know what I mean by that? I guess in a sense I get that, because it's hard to stay focused, kind of knowing that something's coming. It's hard to stay focused thinking, you know what, at any moment I could get the call. Well, I get that here from the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. He doesn't know exactly what God has for him next. I think the challenge of the passage is this: staying committed until called. And I get my title just simply committed until called. I trust that the Lord will use this passage, these verses. I had to labor a little bit. I had to labor a lot. Throughout the week, and say, God, what are you trying to communicate to us from this passage? You know, God's communicated it to me, and it's helped me. I hope that he helps us with it this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much again for the eternal word of God that we can turn to and we can glean from and learn from. And I pray this morning that as we study through these verses, Lord, that we'll really see your heart, and it will come through the text, through the great apostle Paul, as he penned them, your words to us today. I pray that, Lord, the challenges that he was facing, I pray that we'll rise up to that. The same commitment he had, Lord, will battle through as he did and come out, Lord, victorious for you. So it might be effective witnesses for you and be committed until we're called home to be with you. Help us, I pray, in these moments in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing I said, I mentioned this a minute ago, the reality is my point, the reality. Verse 22. So I'm going to start with verse 21 and just kind of carry the context. You'll see how it goes together. Okay, verse 21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But look what he says here. But, he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. It's the reality is what we're talking about. The fantastic commitment statement of verse 21, very powerful, very meaningful. I believe he meant it when he said it. Absolutely, it's in the Word of God, right? God wouldn't have included it if it wasn't true. So as he says that, we know that what he did mean that. And but Paul, for Paul, he wasn't sure that if he would in fact keep on living. That's the point. He said, "For me to live is Christ," but verse 22, "if I live." You see what I mean? He is really questioning if he's going to keep on living. He doesn't know that. He's in jail. He could be condemned to death. He would be in his later jail time that he mentions in 2 Timothy, right? He knows that the time of his departure was at hand. Here, he's in prison, doesn't know if he's going to live or die. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what he knows. So that's kind of the fact of what he's trying to communicate. So the reality, first of all, I have two things here that I think we see in this point. I've broken it down, and this is what the Lord has given me through this passage. First of all, is the reality of, in fact, living. The reality of living. You say, well, that's a reality. I hope we're all here. We joke about that with Jim on his birthday, you know, that he's here and we're living. And we are. Well, that's what he's talking about, is the physical life. If I live in the flesh, it's the physical life in which we live. That's the life we live throughout this week that's brought it back us back here this morning, okay? Have anybody lived this week? Well, we all have, because we're still here, okay? So that's what he's talking about. And the word if is, he's actually saying in the passage, if I continue to live, if I keep on living. And he says here in the verse, look how he says, if I live in the flesh, if I continue to live in the physical life, this is the fruit of my labor. So what's he talking about? The fruit of my labor. Fruit, what is fruit? It's the results. And so he says, this is the results. This is what's going to be produced if I continue to live. You know, I don't know how many of you have read through this passage before. I have a lot. But I've always wondered, it's a little bit different, I guess, to me. When I had to really pause and study and break it down and almost diagram it a little bit and see what's connected, and, you know, it's all this is really part of it. And he said, so what's he really saying? He says, this is the fruit, this is the results, this is what's going to be produced if I continue to live. So the question comes then, what is this? It said, this is the fruit of my labor. The question came to my mind then, what's he talking about? What's this? If he continues to live, that's the question. What's he going to produce? Would you wonder that? Are you following me? You guys are sitting here like, we've battled snow, sleet, freezing rain, slush. We've had a busy week, and this guy is coming here. This preacher is trying to... What is he trying to say? Well, that's what I had to battle through, okay? And this is what he says. The fruit of his labor. What is he going through at the time? Jail. He's in bonds. He's going through a time of suffering and difficulty. He's saying, if I continue to live, this is it. This is what life is. The reality is, it's not easy. Do you find that to be true? It's not easy to live for Christ. But he's made that commitment. If I live, for me to live is Christ. So I don't know what he says. This is it. This is what I do. It's the labor, the work. This is the fruit of my labor. It's going to be work. It's going to be suffering. It may be jail time. It's simply not going to be easy. And he says this phrase here in the verse where he says, I got to find my place again, verse 22, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Now, I wot not. I haven't used the word wot in a sentence this week. All right, maybe you have. I haven't. It's an old English word that really means he didn't know. And the word wot is the Greek word norizo. Yeah, like you need to know that. But anyway, it says it means to make known. It's to reveal or to gain the knowledge of. He says, I don't know what lies ahead. That's what he's saying. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what's ahead for him. And Paul, like us, he didn't know all that was going to happen. He didn't know what was ahead. And I put it this way. He didn't know about tomorrow. Matter of fact, he didn't know if there was going to be a tomorrow. Well, really, then I stopped and paused there and said, well, he didn't know if there was going to be tomorrow. He knew there was going to be a tomorrow, but he didn't know where it was going to be. Whether it was going to continue to be in jail or if he was going to be in glory. He says, I don't know. And that really is it, isn't it? The reality of living. We're here. We're here this morning. We've lived it out this week. But we don't know all that lies ahead for us. And if we live, we need to stick to the commitment like Paul did, for me to live as Christ. And we need to be committed to that. For the Apostle Paul, he was. Paul would deal with it more, and he will. We'll get to that, Lord willing, as we come into chapter 2 down the road a bit. We'll see. Where he says, chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He just was committed to that. The Lord Jesus Christ was, Paul was. There's all kinds of Old Testament characters. You think of the Old Testament character of Joseph of Genesis, right? In the book of Genesis. He wouldn't have chosen all that. He wouldn't have chosen to be thrown into the pit, sold into slavery, to go to Egypt and be bought as a slave, to be falsely accused, be in prison. He wouldn't have chosen all of that. But he knew that God brought him to that, and he brought it about for his good and for the good of the country and for to save his family, right? You know all that. Genesis 50, verse 20, he makes that declaration. And so he knew that God would brought it about for good. Joseph is a great example. Another one we could think of is Daniel. Daniel was a captive in a foreign land. And he, you know, was stripped of all of his rights, was starting to be fed this foreign food. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to defy myself with the meat from the king's table. And he said, you know. And God used that. You see, he didn't know, but he was committed to serve God. Do you see the principle that's being taught out here? Paul says, you know what, for me to live is Christ. And he said, well, I don't know if I'm going to live or not in the flesh. I don't know if I'm going to continue to live. But you know what, if I do, it's going to be Christ that's going to be lived out. So it's quite a commitment. That's the reality, we could say, of living. He says, if I live, then I labor. I'm going to serve. I'm going to live for Christ. So the second thing we see here is the reality not only of living, but it's the reality of longing. And you'll see it here in verse 23. He says, and the wording here is, again, we'll explain it just so we understand what the word of God is saying. But he says, for I am in a strait betwixt two. And so this is the other side of it. For me to live is Christ. I don't know if I'm going to live or not, but if I live, it's going to be Christ. But now we get to the second part of verse 21, but to die is gain, you see. And he's going to explain that. And I'm in a strait betwixt two. And the word strait is to be pressed together or closed in. And many of us, you may be claustrophobic. Anybody here claustrophobic? You don't like getting in tight spaces? If you are that way, kind of in the real sense of it, we get an idea of what Paul is trying to communicate. He said, I'm closed in. I am pressed in to this. Because you have the two sides, living or dying. That's really what he's talking about. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I am pressed in between those two great things. And the idea of strait is to be constrained, right? Or pressed together. And so the two things that are pressing in on Paul was his, as he says in the verse, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. He wanted to get out of there, wouldn't you? You're in prison, you've been beaten, you've been you're stuck in bonds, and you can't do what you believe that God has called you to do. He was a great preacher, and a great missionary. He was stuck there. Why wouldn't he want to get out? He's in a strait betwixt two. So he's pressed in. It's not an easy task. This is something, honestly, this is how the Lord really kind of dealt with me. This is exactly how the Lord applied it to my heart. Maybe it'll apply to yours in another way. I don't know. But it's really the balance in which we all have to find ourselves in living for Christ and living on this present earth and really being attentive to eternal things. To me, it's the biggest battleground in my life on a daily basis, if not a weekly basis, but really daily. is where is the balance with a job, a home, a family, and serving God in our local church, and what has God called us to do, and what has God gifted us to do, and where does that all fit in? Because the reality is, yes, I want to live for Christ, but we have the physical life to live, do we not? We have the life to live. And yes, eternity is important, and dying is gain. We know that heaven is going to be better. And I'd like to be there. Maybe you'd like to join me after the service. No, I'm just kidding. Well, going back to our home today might be the day. And it will be gain. But the fact of the matter is we have to go on living for Christ and seeking God and finding that great balance between living and longing. Yes, I need to live here or I need to go there. But all of that ultimately is up to God. That's the reality of it. Are you following the thinking of the Apostle Paul here? I'm going to live for Christ, knowing that dying is gain. Oh, I have a desire to depart. How many of us in conversation have said, wouldn't it be great if today was the day? And it would be, wouldn't it? If the Lord would call us home today, that'd be fantastic. But the reality is, we don't know. So we need our commitment until called. Until called. For me to live as Christ, to die is gain. Great statement. The reality is, we need to live while longing. Well, that was point number one. How are we doing? Number two is the resolve. What I call the resolve of verse 24. He says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You see, it seems in the passage that it reveals the struggle Paul was having. And then he comes to this conclusion almost, this decision that he's going to. He chooses what God wants. I think that's a great place to get. Just simply choose what God wants. And submit ourselves to that. You'll never go wrong choosing the will of God. Never go wrong with that. And that's, I believe, what he is doing. And I put it this way, his resolve, first of all, he is surrendered to that. I see nevertheless as a word of surrender, as a word of submission to the will of God. See, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to live or die. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Whether I live in the flesh, I don't know. I want not. But I have a desire to depart, and I'm stuck between those two. Nevertheless. And he's surrendering himself to God's will. I see that in the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you were to read in Luke 22 or Matthew 26, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, I trust that you know the passage where he would pray and ask that perhaps God would remove this cup from him. As he prayed and sweat great drops of blood, right? You know that. And he says this in Luke 22:42. I wrote it here. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But he says this, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, that's the word of surrender, is it not? You say, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I do know, nevertheless, I can trust God. I'll surrender to that, to the will of God, and release that all to him. And perhaps there's a nevertheless in my life or in your life that I must resolve to surrender to the will of God, knowing he knows best. And he'll work it out. As we said last time, we work all things together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He's going to work it all together for good. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where we need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, that's a tough place to get. Because I like to know. I like to hold on to the reins. Paul says, you know what, I don't know, but I'm going to resolve to surrender. And he says, resolve here, second thing we see is he is sure. Paul is sure. He surrendered, and he's sure it's going to be all right. You see it, verse 25. He says, what's it say, verse 25? And having this, it's confidence, you see. He's confident in it. If I just let God work it out, it's going to be okay. I'm sure of that. I don't know if I'm living or dying here, but I do know one thing. I'm confident. He says, I know that I shall abide. I like that. He's, I'm going to abide somewhere. Abide and continue with you. So he's almost, you see the transition of the thought. He didn't know whether he was going to live as Christ, to die as gain. He's battling between those two, but he comes to this conclusion here, this surrenders to the will of God. He says, you know what, I'm sure of this. It seems like God has convinced him, all right, you're going to continue. It's going to be okay. You're going to keep on living, Paul. I've got more for you. And you, so it brings me to the third thing that we have. See, these other points aren't anywhere near as long as the first one, so it's a good thing, right? And so we come to the third thing here is the reasons, the reality, the resolve that he comes to, and then the reasons that he kind of comes to this conclusion, that God has confirmed it in his heart, that he's now going to keep on living. I don't know, honestly, if God somehow spoke to him verbally as he did it sometimes, you know, or it was just one of those confirmations in his heart, or whatever it was, Paul seems to me here to say, you know what, I'm gonna keep on going. Why? He gives three things here. I was going to struggle and strain and try and alliterate them, but I just took them from the passage, all right? How about that? That's a new thing for me. I always have to alliterate the point. I didn't this time, all right? So we have the reasons, three of them that are given right here in these verses. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all. He said, well, first of all, I missed one. I'm sorry, I missed the first one. Verse 24. Nevertheless, here we go. To abide in the flesh is what? More needful for you. I just see it this way. Paul put his own desires aside. And he said, you know what? If God leaves me here, as it seems like he's going to, it's because somebody else needs help. I love that. It wasn't about Paul. As he's surrendering his will to God's will, he was allowing, trusting God, and also realizing, you know what, God had somebody that he needed to minister to. And that's what it's really all about. We don't ever want to lose sight of this. God has us here and leaves us here for a reason. It's because we're needed. Somebody needs us, or somebody needs Christ. And God is going to use us to witness to them, to share with them the love of Jesus. And each of us, really, we know, has our own realm of influence. And God places that God puts us to reach people for him. And, you know, we've all walked through these difficult times in life where you wonder, that we've just come through it with my Uncle Clifford. You know, he has been in a home, had been in a home for about a year or so. You know, his mind was going. You wonder, why, God? Why? What is this all about? But as you interact with people, you can show and share the love of Christ over time. You know, we have no idea the impact that makes on people, but it is about others. It's not always about the individual or me or whatever. There's such a much bigger picture out there. And he says, well, that's what Paul is saying out there. I think another great example that comes to mind is in Acts chapter 8, when Philip, one of the first deacons, he goes to, in Acts chapter 8, goes to Samaria and he's preaching Christ to them. And it's a great movement of God. The Spirit of God is changing lives and people are being saved. We would call it a revival or a vival, because not revival, it's vival. It's new life coming, right? And this whole great movement of God in Samaria. And then all of a sudden, God speaks to Philip and says, hey, I want you to go down to the wilderness, to the desert. And you say, well, but there's all kinds of stuff happening here. And, you know, if Philip was like me, he'd say, but I can't leave here. I mean, my God, I need to be the preacher. I mean, they need me here. But no, Philip doesn't do that. He says, He obeys the Lord. He goes to the desert. Why? Because there was one man there, a eunuch of the queen of Ethiopia, Candace, right, that needed to hear the gospel. And that man is saved. He couldn't have been unless somebody explained to him what he's reading, right? You know the passage. So God takes us and moves us and uses us. Why? Because there's someone that needs our help, that needs God. And we can represent the Lord to them and share Christ with them, share the gospel with them. And Paul says, you know, one of the reasons that I resolve to just be committed to do what God has called me, I'm going to trust him in this, is because it's more needful for you. The second thing that we see here is in verse 25. I was trying to jump ahead to that. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with all, with you all. And he says, and it kind of gives that, you see that it's a reason for your furtherance. For your furtherance. Now, we understand that is just progress or advancement. It's the idea of having it will profit them. It will help them. And it's the same idea. One, it may be because they needed to hear the gospel, but maybe somebody else just needs to have the benefit of being encouraged in the Lord. It's the whole thing. And Paul's staying was going to benefit the Philippians. Ultimately, Paul would be rewarded. We know that from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. We know that that would benefit Paul, but ultimately, he was being left to live physical life, to live as Christ, because the church at Philippi, the Philippian believers, would be furthered by it. They'd be encouraged. They'd be moved forward. It would help them. You see it? I think about our, just comes to mind, you know, an older preachers. I know Pastor Bob Philbrick, we still consider him our pastor. We grew up with him as our pastor. He's 80, 81 years old, whatever it is. He's in his early 80s anyway. I think just 80. But he's still preaching the gospel, still being faithful. Dr. Comfort, an ambassador, is another one. Just, boy, he's, and I don't know, how old is he now? He's in his mid-80s or whatever. So he's still out preaching, traveling. I remember hearing Ed Nelson. He's an evangelist. He had been a pastor out in Colorado for years. We heard him when he was in his late 90s preaching at Ambassador. He was in his late 90s traveling in evangelism. Why? Because it was people that needed help, right? Just being faithful. And, you know, that's why God, we need to resolve to surrender to the will of God. Because there's people that need to hear about Christ, and there's people that need to be helped in their faith. And that's what we see here in the third point as well. The benefit that it would be to Philippi is one thing, but then he says also in the end of verse 25, your furtherance and what? Joy of faith. They would be encouraged in their faith. They would have the joy that comes by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and moving forward by faith. That brings joy to our lives because we're pleasing God, and the will of God is pleasurable and joyful to us. It's joy of faith. It's really the Christian life that he's talking about. They would know that joy, and Paul would have joy. It would all be joined together. John 15, Jesus teaches his disciples about the abiding life in John 15. John 15, 11, he says, these things have I spoken unto you that, this is the reason he was telling them, my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Do you have full joy today? Do you have full joy in Jesus Christ? The joy of the Lord is your strength? See, that's what Paul was trying to communicate to those believers. You know, I don't know if I'm living, dying. I don't know what it is. I'm in a straight betwixt two. I'm stuck right in the middle, and I feel the pressure of both. I know one thing. For me to live is Christ. If I have my desires, I'd depart. I'd be out of here. To die is gain. But you know, I'm just going to surrender my will to God's will. I'm going to resolve myself to live for Jesus. It's up to him. But he came to that place where, you know what? God's going to leave me here. God's going to leave me here. Bummer. No, I don't know if it was a bummer. But he knew why God was leaving him there. So that it was needful for them. that they would be furthered, they would be encouraged, and they'd have the joy of faith. So the reality, the resolve, the reasons, I do have a number four, but it's only this much in my notes, okay? So it's all right. It's the next verse, verse 26, you see it there. I think it's really another reason, but I put it as a separate point. It says that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. So Paul really had the eyes of faith, didn't he? He really didn't know if he was going to live or not. But here, by faith, he's saying, you know what, I'm going to rejoice because I'm going to see you again. Now, I don't know if the bottom line is if he thought he would actually go to there again or if he would actually go to glory and see him there. But either way, he's going to see him. And that would be joyful, you see. And that's what he's trying to say here. He's saying, you know what, I don't know. And I don't know if Paul ever got back to Philippi. I don't know that the Bible indicates that. He wanted to. He wanted to see him. And I think he was sure that he was going to see them one way or the other, right? But he says he rejoices in that. And they're rejoicing today. You realize that? They're rejoicing in heaven today. Because Paul was faithful. He was committed to encourage them to live for Jesus, for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. You know, we're all going to face the reality of tomorrow. Living while longing. Staying here, being committed to do what God has called us to do, to find the balance in all of that. Real life, we have to live it out, don't we? And then we have the resolve, surrender to the will of God. When God leads, let's just obey him, knowing, sure that it's going to be okay. He's trustworthy. We can, in fact, trust him. And then we have the reasons. We may not know the reasons, but we do know what God has called us to do, to be a testimony for Christ, to bring glory to his name. It's really pretty simple. And to live for Christ every day so that we might have the joy of faith, the joy of stepping out and trusting him, relying on his word. And then, oh, the rejoicing. One day we'll rejoice together in heaven when God calls us home. Committed until called. Let's be committed. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, and thank you for how it does help us and speak to us in really the everyday life, the normal things that we face. I pray that we would see that connection. It seems that the Apostle Paul was in a tough spot. He didn't know what laid ahead, but he trusted you through it. May we do that. You know what battles we'll face. You know the good times and the bad. You know all about it. But I pray that, Lord, we would stay committed to live for you, to live for Christ, knowing that we're longing to be with Christ, that dying is going to be gain. It's going to be better. But, Lord, I pray that we would be faithful until you call us home. Help us, I pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen.